All right, let's change direction now and change attitude and everything. We've got a lot of questions to ask you. God made three promises to Abraham, and they were, number one, I will do what for you? I'll make of you. I cannot hear you. Number one, what? Make a great nation of you. Number two, what? Number two, what's that? I'm going deaf again. I'm losing my hearing. A great nation, where? In a great land. And someday I'm going to send what? Great Savior. He made that promise first to Abraham, then to Isaac, and then to Jacob. And that's what Genesis is all about. You know, we said the Old Testament in one word is Jesus. In one sentence, it's someone is coming. And so all the way through the Old Testament, you've got the emphasis on Jesus. The first promise that's made about the coming of Jesus is in Genesis. Do you know the location of that verse yet? Chapter 3, verse is somewhere between verse 14 and 16. Anybody want to guess what is between 14 and 16? Wonderful. Genesis 3:15 that says that the seed of woman would bruise the head of that old serpent, of the devil. Last week, we stopped right in the middle of Joseph being in prison. He's in there because of the fact that he will not commit sin with Potiphar's wife. He was. How old was Joseph when he went down to the land of Egypt? Anybody know that? That's a age of Joseph when he went down into the land of Egypt. That's on the priest card. How old was he? Any 17-year-olds right here? You stop and think about it. Your age, guys. You got to understand that. And he's got no reason to serve God because his brothers tried to kill him, and nobody loves him anymore. And his world has come to an end. And now all of a sudden, you know, all of these good. Well, but he says, "I cannot." That's the memory verse down to the bottom. One of the key memory verses is, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? In a foreign land, rejected by his brothers who wanted to kill him, and he still has his faith." What a great, great lesson for. Now then, how does he get out of prison? He's 17 when he goes down to the land of Egypt. We do not know exactly how long it was. He becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. God is with him, and Potiphar finally puts him in charge of all of his household and all of his goods. And what was the name of that man who made Joseph to be a servant? Were you listening? Who did he serve? He served Potiphar, and so he's there. He will not sin with Potiphar's wife. The Bible says that day by day she tempted him. Well, just a one-time occasion. On and on. Day by day is a daily temptation. And the Bible said that finally she grabbed a hold of his garment and did what? She tore the garment off of him. He ran out of his house without his garment. Now, I don't know what kind of clothing they wore under that garment, you understand? But you can get almost a mental picture of here is this naked young man, 17, 18 years of age, running down the streets, and he's a foreigner in this land. What's happened? He's tried to rape Potiphar's wife, and they threw him into prison. That's where we left him last week. While he is in prison, there are two individuals that come into the prison. They become critical in the story. We're not going to spend much time. I hope you know the occupation of those two individuals. One was the cupbearer to the king, and the other one was the baker of the king. He interpreted both of those dreams. If you haven't read the book of Genesis, and if you don't know those dreams, you need to know that. You know, we've got 2,500 years of Bible history covered in one book of the Bible. That's the book of Genesis. The next four books, you know, Exodus through Deuteronomy, they only cover 120 years. In reality, they mainly only cover 40 years. And so you've got one book, 2,500 years. You've got four books that cover 120, but actually 40 years of the. So everything that's in this Bible, in the book of Genesis, is important. And you got to understand all of these things. So he interprets the dream. interprets the dream of the individual who was the cupbearer, and he asked the cupbearer, but when he interpreted his dream, he said, oh, by the way, the baker's going to die in 3 days, but in 3 days you will be restored back to be serving the Pharaoh, and when you go get before the Pharaohs, remember me. It did not happen. What age was Joseph? That's one of the questions on this card. How old was Joseph? That's on the priest card. The number, the priest card, the age of Joseph when he goes before Pharaoh. He's 17 when he goes into the land of Egypt. How old is he when he goes before Pharaoh? 30. Is that right? That's 13 years. Now, he wasn't in prison all of that time, but much of that time he is in prison. Wow. You talk about getting discouraged as a teenager trying to serve God. You're trying to live right, do right. And you could put him there all 13 years, depending on how many years he's in favor with Potiphar. It doesn't seem to be all of that long. But 10 or 12 years, you're there in prison, and you're there because you're trying to live right and do right. What a lesson for every one of us to learn. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh himself has a dream. You remember the number 7 is critical. There were 7 of this and then 7 of the other. Some were good, some were bad. 7 of this and 7 of the other. Some were good and some bad. Do you remember the dream? I try to visualize what that dream was. There was the dream of these 7 good ears of grain. And they were immediately followed by 7 ears of bad grain. And then more especially, there were these cows that came up out of the river, likely in that dream, the Nile River, came up out of the Nile River, fat cows and everything, and all of a sudden, 7 skinny cows come out, and they devour the 7 fat cows. What on earth could this dream mean? And about that time, the cupbearer said, oh, I know somebody that can do that. I promised it. I've told him, you know, I would remember you. And finally, it takes God intervening again. And so now Joseph is cleaned up and brought before Pharaoh. And he interprets the dream of Pharaoh to say there will be 7 years of plenty, and there will be, and then there will be 7 years of famine. And then the advice is now, while you're having the years of plenty, gather in as much as you can so you'll have provision in the 7 years when there will be a famine. You need to read those verses when Joseph goes before Pharaoh. He goes before Pharaoh and he said, it's not me that's giving this to you. It's God who's giving this to you. And here Joseph is standing before the powerful king, and nothing has gone right in his life, and he still hasn't forgotten about God. Young people, make that decision right now. I'm going to serve God as long as I live, come what may. And when you're 30 years of age, and the opportunity arises for him to even become rich and famous in relationship, he said, it is not me, it is God. God has showed you what shall happen. And how we need to get that. And David, thank you for that lesson tonight. Isn't that great? God knows. And God will take care of them, and God will take care of you. There are as many chapters in the Bible devoted to Joseph as to Abraham. And yet Joseph is not even in the lineage of Christ. In the begats, in Matthew chapter 1, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat, you'd think it'd be Joseph. No, Joseph is not even in the main route that leads us all the way to Jesus. And yet God, early in the Bible, spends 13 chapters, 13 out of 50. What percentage is that? Anybody good with numbers? Is that 25% or something like that, more than that? Okay. That'd be 26 out of 50 and 52 out of 100. I don't know. Anyway, a big hunk of the book of Genesis is in there just to help us understand God will take care of us. Key verse, key statement. But God was with him. But God was with him. God blessed him. And even when he's in prison, God is with him and God blesses him. And so Potiphar's house is blessed because God is with Joseph. And now Joseph, at 30 years of age, stands before the king and interprets the king's dream. And then the king says, I need to put somebody in charge. And then he said to the people, whom can I put in charge of this gathering in of this grain? What person can I put in charge who would excel and be above this man in whom is the Spirit of God? The first indwelling, the Holy Spirit, right here. We think indwellings in the New Testament. Genesis chapter 47, or whatever that chapter is, says the Spirit of God is with him. Pharaoh understood this. You've explained these dreams. I accept your dreams. I believe in this because you said God has made this known to me, and I believe the Spirit of God has given you this very message. And so Joseph is put in charge. Isn't it remarkable? The famine is not only in Egypt. The famine is up in Israel too. You know the story. I don't have to tell you the Bible story. If you haven't read this, it would do you good to sit down and read these closing chapters of the book of Genesis. There are so many things in there that you have not seen. And that you will be amazed. Things that just jump out of you from the text in relationship to this. And so the Bible talks about the fact that now Joseph's brothers come down to the land of Egypt. And guess what they do? They have to come before Joseph to get grain. They're foreigners. Will the Egyptians even sell them grain? If you don't understand the hardship that could have been because of the famine, it was at least a worldwide famine as far as Egypt and Palestine was. And you've got all of this, and they have to come before Joseph. And what do they do when they come before Joseph? They bow down before Joseph. Remember the dreams we talked about last week? Gathering in the wheat, and 11 of those sheaves bowed down to the one sheaf, and then the sun and the moon and the stars doing obeisance unto Joseph. And now it's about all to happen, and there are Joseph's brothers. And it is remarkable, they do not recognize him. Think of the difference in the way you look when you're 17, the way you'll look when you're 30. And the very fact, Joseph, how could this be? We're going before an Egyptian. I'm sure he thinks like an Egyptian. I'm sure he looks like an Egyptian. And they do not recognize Joseph. And they bow down before him. And so he sends them back, but he says, because they had told him, there is one younger brother that's still at home. We are one of their 12 sons. One is not, and one is home. So he says, okay, I'm going to keep one of you here. He keeps Simeon there, down in the land of Egypt, and sends them back home with their money. Wonder why he sent their money back with them. Because they're going to be back next year whenever they need wheat next year. And so next year he's going to be coming back. They'll need their monies. They come back the second time. They do not want to bring Benjamin, Joseph's youngest brother. Do not want to bring Benjamin. But finally they permit Jacob. Jacob gives them permission to take my son. You see, he thinks Joseph is dead. And these sons, Joseph and Benjamin, are the children, the only two children that Joseph's beautiful wife Rachel had. They are his favorite children. Remember Joseph's coat of many colors? And so now Benjamin is there and he sends them back home. He puts money in the bag again, but he puts Joseph's cup. And whenever they go out, the Egyptians go out to find out and to arrest, at least under a false situation, to arrest them for what they have done They've said, we haven't done anything. They open up their bags and the money, and in the one bag is the cup of Joseph. The amazing thing is, he's worthy of death. All of the brothers come back. And finally, Joseph sends everybody out of the room, and Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. We are about to see a transition in the story of the Old Testament. This is a critical transition. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, went to the land, to a promised land. And they arrived in this promised land, and they're pilgrims and sojourners. And they're about to leave the promised land, because when we studied earlier about Abraham, God had said they'll be down in the land of Egypt for four centuries. They'll be down there for 400 years down in that land. And the remarkable thing is, they have left the promised land and they're down there in the land of Egypt. Jacob comes down. How many Jews are there? How many descendants does Abraham take from the promised land? How many descendants of Jacob are now down in the land of Egypt? That's on the priest card, the number of Jacob's household who went in the land of Egypt. 70 souls. They're going to be there 400 years. Does anybody remember how many individuals came out of the Exodus? It wasn't 70. There's a book in the Bible called Numbers that gives that number, 603,550. Some of you know it. I see you mouthing that answer. From 70 souls, 400 years later, 603,000 men above 20 able to go to war. That's an amazing things happen. They're down there in the land of Egypt, and Jacob calls all of his sons together to pronounce a blessing upon them. Here is a critical, critical verse. And that is found in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. On those cards, you've got those key locations. Here's one of them. When Jacob blessed his children, in the Old Testament, the patriarchs would pronounce a blessing upon the children. Remember how we talked about Isaac being fooled and how Jacob stole the blessing away from Esau? His mother helped him, and there was all that conniving that went on. And now Jacob is ready to bless his children. And in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. When he's ready to bless Jacob and his descendants, verse 1 of that chapter says, I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the last days. You know what's going to happen in the last days? Shiloh is going to come. But until Shiloh comes, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. What on earth is a scepter? It's that instrument that a king holds as the symbol of his authority. And so when Jacob, by the providence and the wisdom of God and the inspiration of God, says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. God looks into the future and looks to the time when there would be a king having a scepter, and says, once that Judean scepter is given, it will always be in the household of Judah. Once it's given to Judah, it will always be there until Shiloh comes, until the Messiah comes. But the first king was not from Judah. We're jumping way ahead in history. When they asked for a king, King Saul is made to be their king. What tribe is Saul from? The tribe of Benjamin. But when the scepter is given to the household of Judah, it remains in Judah's household, the king, the right to have that scepter. How many kings were there in that southern kingdom? Anybody by any chance know how many kings there were in that southern kingdom? 19. Thank you for mouthing it. How many of them were from the house of the lineage of David? I just told you, Genesis 49, verse 10. Every one of the southern kings, every one of them came through the tribe of Judah. Because Judah became the royal tribe where kings come from. That's not true of the northern kingdom. There's one household after another jumping from tribe to tribe up in the 19 kings of that northern kingdom. It bounces back and forth. But until Shiloh comes, until the Messiah comes, the right of kingship must belong to one who is of the tribe of Judah. If the earthly parents of Jesus, Joseph and Mary, had not been from the tribe of Judah, Jesus is not the Messiah. So Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat, not Joseph, Judah. And that's critical. When you get to the end of the book of Genesis. When you get to the end of the book of Genesis, I would encourage you to write in the last, add one verse to Genesis chapter 50 and put a note there, 430 years pass between the end of the book of Genesis and the beginning of the book of Exodus. That's a time note the verse you need to put with that is Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. They'll be there for 430 years, and Exodus 12, 40 says, and it was exactly 430 years. From the time, evidently, counting from the time that Jacob goes down into that land, he dies 17 years after he gets down into that land, but almost from the time Jacob gets down into that land until we come to the book of Exodus. The opening verses of Exodus chapter 2, the children of Israel who are in Egypt. Who are the children of Israel? Who's Israel? That's Jacob's other name. When you get to the end of the book of Genesis, in our mind, you've got the children of Jacob down in the land of Egypt. 70 of them, 70 descendants of Jacob, including Jacob, down in that land. But the Bible has continuity. And so in the continuity of the Bible, 400 years between Genesis chapter 50 and Exodus chapter 1, those children of Jacob, now become known by Jacob's other name, they are the children of Israel. And that's where we'll start next week. We'll start with the Exodus. Start with the Exodus. David, is there anything that I've left out of the book of Genesis you think that we ought to emphasize at this time? Let me urge you to read the Bible. Sometimes people say, oh, the Bible is so hard to understand. You read the book of Genesis and you'll be amazed how easily you understand it. You sat in these classes down here when you were 3 years of age and you heard about the Exodus. When you were 4 and 5 years of age, you heard about the water being turned into blood. Remember that? And you learn all of these old, you know, the coat of many colors. You remember that? They may have put one on you in Sunday school. You know, that type of thing. What's that all about? It's to give you the advantage that every parent needs to give to their children, the ability to know biblical history and to tie it all together. Because the story of the Old Testament is someone is coming and the stage is being set. From Adam to Noah to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, God has been working 2,000 plus years. And now it's about ready to come. They have become a great nation, and they are about to go into a great land. That's it for tonight. We'll start with Exodus next week.